Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
This is Scott Schrake, the famous writer and ultimate Washington insider, and you're listening to Used Wigs Radio on Used Wigs Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio podcast number 41. We are broadcasting not from Russ Stark Studios, but from Jeff Lyon's Super Studio and Discount Apparel Mart this week, boys. We are happy to have not one, but two guests this week. First, Huffington Post contributor, Used Wigs writer, and Teddy Bear Monthly writer, Scott Schrake, is in the studio. Next to him, sharing a mic, is Jim Gladstone, author, writer of such books as The Big Book of Misunderstanding, and one of my favorites, Games to Go. Right, Jim?
Howdy. Yes, howdy. That is right. I did write that one.
You did write that one. You are the Jim Gladstone who wrote that one, correct?
Yeah.
We got the right one.
Jim is Philly-based. Scott is D.C.-based. Is that what you like to say, Scott?
Yeah, the District of Columbia.
Yes. Would you consider yourself a D.C. insider?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
I think that's the whole kind of motif around your Huffington Post.
Yeah, until I realized that it has a negative connotation.
Really? Why?
Now I have to kind of back off of it. I thought it was a cool idea.
So did I.
But apparently the rest of the country talks pejoratively about Washington insiders and Washington, the idea of Washington.
Now, this is going to be real hacky, but they do say Washington is the Hollywood for ugly people.
Yes.
And do you agree?
Yes. And Karl Rove is the ugliest man in Hollywood for ugly people.
I enjoyed a recent post of yours where you just basically, you were like a, just a fly on the wall of... A dud? A complete uninteresting dud? No, you were just kind of watching famous people in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw the president of Mexico, I believe.
Vicente Fox.
Right, and then you saw, I think you went up to Ted Kennedy's house.
His dogs barked at the dogs that I was walking with. And then he said, "Sonny, get in there." And I thought, wow.
He's talking to you?
That's the voice that he talked to Jackie O in.
Wow.
But he was talking to the dog.
He's talking, yeah, but I heard it. He was talking to me, too.
How close were you to his giant, fat, alcoholic face?
25 feet. Wow.
But it seemed closer due to the size.
Did the head seem big?
He lost all the whiskey weight. He looks good.
He's getting like 10 mil for his book, his memoirs.
Yeah. I think it's 8 mil.
8 mil? Oh, so it's not as much as the Clintons?
Right. Bill outpaced him by a couple mil.
Nice. So you're not a Washington insider then. You got to think of a new.
I live in Washington.
Okay,
but I live inside the Beltway.
Is the Huffington Post, is it satirical?
No.
Okay.
It's probably the most
most read blog on the planet.
Yes, I believe it is.
But it's straight. It's not humorous.
Well, no, it's wildly gay.
I wouldn't say straight.
I understand, Jim Gladstone.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing now? What are you doing? I mean, like, what's going on in Philadelphia for you? Are you a Philadelphia insider?
I'm less of a Philadelphia insider than I used to be.
Yeah.
In my wild youth.
Now you're just like
I'm pretty sequestered in the loft district there.
Are you a Philadelphia shut-in? Could we call you that? A guy who just hands out pickles and.
Yeah. But no. Things are well when I'm not toiling for the man.
Right.
I'm working on a couple of. Interesting book projects, all long a boring.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the latest thing that's caught my mind is this concept that's called Dumpling Hunter. And it's sort of a pudgy, soft Food Network kind of a show. It's kind of like Anthony Bourdain for wimpy people and sort of travel the globe trying the local dumplings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's not for these like alpha male aggressive guys who's going to go eat sheep gonads in Scotland.
No,
this is
because the dumpling is really it unifies us all, right?
Right.
Every ethnic culture
has a dumpling.
Its dumplings. So wherever you are, you can feel warm and homey and dumpling-ish.
How about this? I will throw out a country, and you give me their equivalent to a dumpling. Scott, Poland.
Proszkis.
Wow, that was in the native language. For people who are not familiar with Polish, that was pierogi. Todd, you're of Italian descent. I think that's pretty apparent by all your body hair. What in Italian would be their dumpling?
Wait, yes, the gnocchi.
Nope, very nice. Would that be correct, Jim?
I would call gnocchi. I would also say ravioli.
Wow. Russ, you are some sort of mutt. I don't know where you're from.
Long Island. We had matzo balls.
Wow, is that correct, Jim?
Yeah,
nice. Jim, and I have no idea what your background is.
I'm not Polish, is what I've been trying to say. Why you asked me that?
I don't know. Isn't Germany next to Poland? Aren't you?
It would have been.
A very good part of Poland?
Yeah.
Part of Germany?
Yeah.
Jim, give me some more dumplings from around the world.
Well, of course, you know, all the dim sum dumplings.
Dim sum.
You know, many of those.
Jim is Korean, by the way.
The spetzel.
Wow.
That's German.
And the, you know, the hardcore American poor people's dumpling.
What is that?
It's like a ball of dough that's boiled.
And chicken soup. Chicken dumplings, yes.
Oh, okay.
You know? I mean, and that's the other thing that's interesting about dumplings is that it's not a snotty gourmet food.
No.
You know, it's from the bottom.
The other thing.
That's interesting about dumplings.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if this really catches on, this sort of world unity through dumplings.
How could it not, Jim?
You know,
I mean,
we could do a Christo-esque thing where we actually wrap the globe.
Orange sort of.
In a dumpling sheath, and the globe was the filling, and we were all the warm love inside of it.
Or like dumplings across America.
Yeah.
Dude, we could all not only hold hands, but in each of our hands that's clasped to the other person, there's a dumpling. A hot, steamy dumpling. What do you think about that, guys?
Do you remember Hands Across America, actually, where there were giant spaces where there weren't people holding hands,
yeah,
and they just held a rope? This is true. For Hands Across America, which was supposedly the longest human chain ever, it was completely acceptable for the record books to have giant lengths of rope going across areas, and one person would hold the one end, another person would hold the other.
Did that succeed? Did Hands Across America,
that's,
I mean,
all relative, I suppose.
If you kind of...
I didn't participate.
I was part of it, yeah.
Were you?
Scott, yeah. It seems like you would be part of Hands Across America.
I was, yeah.
Hands Across Germany.
Oh, were you?
It's like bitch slaps across America.
Guys, we're going to get back to dumplings, hand dumplings across America and all that good stuff. But first, as always, we will play a song for you to enjoy. This is Great Northern with their new song, Home, on Eeny Meeny Records.
Over, I'm sure you'll be able.
And we're back, Used Wigs Radio Podcast 41. That was Great Northern with their song Home, a quite beautiful song, I might add. And that's from their new CD, Trading Twilight for Daylight. And that was an email coming to me saying, great job, Jeff.
Another geographical band name.
I know, I'm doing a lot of that, yeah. Right? Yeah, look, Mexico.
Are you doing an inordinate amount of selecting in that field, or are there a lot of bands that are suddenly named after geographical
There are so many bands with geographical names, like, you know, Northern State, Great yeah. Northern Ballsack.
We just saw Northern State open for Tegan and Sarah.
How
were
they?
They were okay.
They were okay, yeah.
Entertaining. Tegan and Sarah were great.
They were fair. You could watch one or two songs and had enough of them, though.
Of no mistake.
Yeah. But, you know, I can't help but think, like, in 2010, 2011, when someone says, like, is that a band meeting? We're like, what if we call ourselves, like, Eastern Michigan? And, like, oh, that's so 2006. A geographic name.
Do you think Sufjan Stevens will continue his... Jim, was that correct?
Sufjan,
thank you.
I'm the one from Michigan.
I don't care. Do you think that matters to me that you're from Michigan?
Well, I should know about Surf Jam.
That's why I didn't ask you.
Surf Jam Surf Stevens, Jam. You know, Dickie Dale and Surf Jam Stevens.
That's right.
I'd like to go on the record as being against him, by the way.
Wow. No, are you a Michigander against Sufjan?
Yes, I am.
Why?
And I'm starting a Facebook group called Michiganders Against Sufjan Stevens.
What did he do to you? Uh-oh. This ain't gonna go well.
It's about the music. I just find it to be very cartoonish. It reminds me of, you know, Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's intentional. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to get it.
It really is. It's less...
What do you mean about Sesame Street, though? Like, it's not the kind of song that one of the puppets would sing. You're saying, like, perhaps it's, like, one of the songs that would be over the delivery of milk to a young child or something, or, like, the making of balloons. Is that like, it's the
made,
music that...
It's made with the same instruments that they used on, like, Romper Room.
Uh-huh.
So Sesame Street, Romper Room, it's just... To me, it's just childish and...
But that's beneath me.
What do you have against Calliopes?
Yeah, he did. The Calliopes are big now.
What don't I have?
You know what? Xylophones are big too. A couple of the bands that I was reading about.
I love a good xylophone solo.
Okay.
Does he use xylophones?
There's some xylophones. Russ actually on a podcast told me there's a difference between the xylophone and the. What did Lionel Hampton play?
He played the vibraphone.
Vibraphone, right. So the vibraphone was a real legit instrument.
Do I have to go through this again?
Please.
The vibraphone has metal bars
yes.
and has, like, the tone tubes beneath it. That's
tone
a vibraphone.
Tubes.
Xylophone has wooden bars, no tone tubes. Marimba has wooden bars, tone tubes. Glockenspiel has metal bars, no tubes.
I have a tone tube that once had me put behind metal bars.
How toned was your tube? Hey, look, Jim's in the gym again, man. He's blasting his tube.
Jeff, maybe we could post a great Venn diagram of that on Used Wig, so we never have to go through it again.
Things no one cares about.
When you get it right, I won't have to say it.
That's true. Scott, I want to get into that, the whole Facebook thing, because you got me into it. But before that, Jim, do you have any problem? I notice you don't have, like, you don't blog, correct?
Nope.
You don't, there's not a lot of your written word that you could find on the web, correct?
There's a fair amount of it.
I mean, if you go to your website.
No, there is. If you Google him, I've Googled you, too. You just don't. No.
That's very cute. I love that. But no, Jim, do you purposely not, like, as a writer, like, do you not, like, blogging is something very interesting, I think, for writers. I always, like, right now, I'm very strong opinion that, as a whole, it's really just doing a disservice to writing in general.
all
too many people have voices now.
Yes.
Shut them out. Put
yes.
them back where they belong.
There's no giant filter on the internet that says, this guy started a blog, he's writing this filter that would say, you really suck. You can't write a grammatically correct sentence, so you're no longer on the internet.
It was, you know, 10 years ago, no one had the impulse to tell everyone in the world everything they were thinking.
Thank
good
God.
Point.
That's probably true.
What are you going to play for us now, Russ?
This is a band called Fishboy, and this is off their new album, How We Failed to Save the Lone Star State with the Power of Rock and Roll.
Wow.
At the proper name spelling bee, everyone loses. You can't spell Vermont, you can't spell Massachusetts, because that was the name of a gift the judge once received. Two dogs when he was three. F-U-R-M-O-N-T was brewed. Donuts were fried. The refreshment table prepared when we arrived to find a show for us to play on an epic Saturday. The judge briefly explained, there's the plan. You can take your tiny band. Intermission is at 2:45 and play contestants got out almost instantly, and the six lost for not spelling James with a G. The tears wiped on his sleeves were well beyond believe what you want, but I saw it that day, and the last girl in line dropped down and began to pray for a way to exit out the mess and be spared from the rest. At least that's what I guess. One by one, the children's turns were done. An event that should be fun was turned to misery. And the proper name spelling bee,
R-O-P-E-R-N-A-N-D-S-S-P-E-L-L-I-N-G. The cops busted in and they shouted, up with your hands, tonight it ends your crime spree. We had been deceived, so we began to scream the worst obscenities at the proper name spelling bee.
All right, that was Fishboy with, the song was Halftime at the Proper Name Spelling Bee. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
You laughing at my radio voice?
I liked it.
Stop it.
It's a good radio
voice. That was
voice.
Fishboy with
Halftime
at the Proper Name Spelling Bee.
Scott Shrake and Jim Gladstone, we like to use our radio voice when we're mentioning the music we play. We give them a nice, you know, radio voice thing like, that was, and then we go back to our normal.
I'm just going to rely on my face for radio.
Nice. I want to get back to, we mentioned Facebook before now.
That was a tight cut right there.
Yeah, that was tight. That was just stop all the nonsense. Because, Scott, you are a big proponent. You love it more than you love life itself, it seems.
We're all shaking our heads. No.
No? Okay. Well, I'm just...
I'm a late life convert.
Okay, here's the thing. We joined MySpace after it was popular.
Yeah.
So there was like no reason to do it.
We were on the dull edge.
We were on the dull edge, yes.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
I saw something in Newsweek in the laundry room in my building.
Is that where Newsweek, their editorial staff headquarters?
So
the, it was vibrating.
The guy that is your first friend on MySpace, what's
yeah,
his
Tom.
Name? Tom.
Yes. The Piper's son.
Is
5 years older than he says he is on his profile.
That son of a...
And I'm so fascinated by that, because lying about your age is de rigueur.
Right,
how
sure.
How is this in Newsweek?
Slow week. Slow news week. You didn't see his face on the cover?
It got me thinking about my own online presence, you know, which is huge.
It is. Literally when I open up my computer every morning and open up my internets, there's a story about you, your face, something popping up about Scott Trigg.
I know. I've crossed over into the fame.
So why would someone use Facebook instead of MySpace? What is the difference?
MySpace is tacky, first of all.
Okay. True.
Second of and filled with porn, from what I've heard. I'm not allowed on MySpace.
I heard.
So I've never been on it. It's true. My ex got it in the breakup. We divided up the internet.
Are you serious?
It's true.
That's great.
So you and your ex, you had a shared MySpace?
No. We just, when we broke up, we said, you can have these sites and I can have these sites, because I don't want to run into your ass on the...
Holy
on the,
shit.
...on the nets.
So he has MySpace, so he's like...
And he can have it.
Yeah, it's kitty land. Trash. It is kitty land trash. It's like, you know. But Facebook, Todd, from what... Scott just invited me to Facebook. So I got so enwrapped in it, I set up a Jeff Lyons. I set up a Used Wigs group because Scott got me all pumped up. I have to ask... I got poked. What does that mean?
What does that mean? If you have to ask.
I know. I mean, this is... Russ, we have a segment called, like, this is what I'm into, even though everyone else has been into it for years now. A day late, dollar short thing. But,
on Facebook, it's an enigma.
Okay.
Because it could mean, I'm interested in you for whatever reason.
Right.
And
I'm handsome. I understand.
I'm opening my profile up to you temporarily. Because when you poke someone for a week, they can look at your whole profile.
Ah.
And the thing about Facebook that I think is the secret to a success is that you can 100% tailor it for your privacy preferences. And so I could say, yes, you can be my friend, but you can only see my pictures. You can't see who my other friends are.
Huh.
Or you can't be my friends, or everyone in the world can see my pictures, but not my friends, or whatever.
Jim Gladstone, are you on Facebook?
Not at all.
He refuses.
Okay. Okay. I actually won't even go look at someone else's thing when they send me an invitation to join Facebook.
I love looking at people's things. Anyway, Todd, are you on Facebook?
No, I...
Russ
are
Stark.
Companies and corporations on Facebook too? Like,
yes.
MySpace?
I don't know.
It's no. Just, like, you know venues.
What? I think they just monetized last week.
Really?
Yeah.
I think all of them are ultimately doomed in some way, because it all has to come together. Because again, like the duality of it. If you're a professional, you have a LinkedIn profile. Then you've got your Facebook thing. If you're a monster, you've got a monster profile. Like, every time you join a lot of these sites that are these networking or social sites, you're asked to build a profile. It's getting to be stupid. Like, people are going to be calling for, look, let me have one freaking profile that I update in one place, and then it feeds out to these other areas, or those other areas
and
don't
just
exist.
Just let the government put it together for me.
But don't you think...
There's already a site, and I figure what it's called. It begins with a P.
And you put all the information in, and it...
Well, it advertises itself as LinkedIn and Facebook rolled in together.
It's a consolidator.
Yeah. Oh, it's Plaxo.
Plaxo Pulse.
And, which people are always sending me that, join my Plaxo. I'm like, no. I think eventually what it's probably going to be is something that's on your computer. Like, it's your profile, like, on your desktop or something. And then you're, depending on what community you join online, you say, all right, upload my profile to this. Instead of every time you join eBay, blah, 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 you're building a profile everywhere. It's man. Really, I mean, come on. It's going to die. It's the writing's on the wall.
Well, there's
you're talking about the individual companies or whatever dying. I actually have a fundamental problem, I think, with the whole idea of managing yourself and managing your identity in this way and dividing yourself into so many layers and being so self-conscious rather than just being. I mean, people are putting an awful lot of time into managing their personality in a way they never have before.
That's true.
But I like that.
With
I want
Second Life and all that.
Well, Scott, do you think that because you like want to create something that you're not, or because don't you think that's it? You're fine tuning yourself for presentation.
People say,
you know, if I have kind of a small profile somewhere, do you have any more pictures? Of course I do. I have hundreds. what do you want to see? You know, I love it.
Yeah, but
I have a life. I have a footprint in the real world too. It's not just online. But I know it. See, but you don't want to do that? You don't want to market yourself, or
no? If I have something to sell, I do. But I don't
yourself.
I don't view myself as a product. When I have a product to sell, I will do what I need on the web to sell it. But as an ongoing project, no.
Todd, you consider yourself a product almost, correct? Because you're not. I mean, Todd is a very good, very savvy self-promoter because he's an artist.
To the point now where my wife is pregnant and we are trying out names with .com at the end of it. Yeah, to make sure that it's like. But, you know, back to what you guys are saying, it's really interesting because as goes life with human beings, because, you know, like, what separates us from other animals is our development and use of technology and tools with the opposable thumb and, you know, the precision grip. But we get so wrapped up with tools that we spend so much time preparing the tools that we don't actually have to use, you know, like, the problem never comes about. All we worry about is the solution. So you spend all this time on Facebook or on MySpace preparing for something that might not ever happen. And at the end of it, you say, oh, well, you know, inevitably, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, there will be no Facebook. There will be no
don't
MySpace.
You dare say that. And, I don't want to envision a world.
But then,
that.
You know, when you look back, you say, okay, the 50 hours that I invested in maintaining this profile, uploading photos, and reaching out to the social network, what did it actually get me? Right. And more times than
well, you got poked like 5,000 times.
Well, that's right. You did get 8 pokes, but I don't know. It just seems I can relate to what you're saying, and I can appreciate that because it just seems like an awful lot of time preparing the tool, refining the tool, but you never actually do the job that the tool is for.
Well, right. The other thing, and not to get too sci-fi on you, but I mean,
please do.
I think there's this whole notion of sort of sub creativity that goes on now in the world. Like the people who made Facebook, like they were doing something really cool. The people who are dicking around in Facebook with their profile, they're not made to feel as if they are.
Right.
Well, that's sad.
Right. Just like any video game where you make choices. Like, you if you enjoy making choices, but instead of making the choices in writing or creating music or poetry or literature or art, the choices that you're making is choosing a color of outfit for your Nintendo Mii.
Well, that is the,
you know,
that,
like,
that's a crazy thing about it.
But it's unfortunate that people are, like, getting, are feeling that, are scratching their creative itch choosing what size elephant to put in their zoo tycoon.
Right. But there's no risk,
what
really.
The hell?
You know, it's like, or like a simulation, you know, any kind of online simulation. People are making choices, and instead of making choices that could actually lead to something.
Well, that's a relatively new thing, but yeah, in almost all the new video games, the first thing you do is go through 10 or 11 screens of picking the outfit that your character wears.
Your avatar?
Freaking
your
avatar. But I have a friend who is a female porn star on Second Life.
Sweet.
He's a guy in
France.
He's
like a 50-year-old guy in France, of course.
On Second Life, he's a female porn star, and he has 10,000 fans.
All right, we got to get back into this. We're going to play a song right now, but everyone hold that thought because...
Oh, I'll hold it.
Because I think I've been on that Second Life planet watching this porn star. I'm very upset right now. Okay, we're going to play a little, let's see who we're going to play right now. Let's play a song, Still Spinning, by a new band, and Todd, you're going to love this. The band's name is Statehood, on Discord Records, and this is Still Spinning.
Come buzz, twisting, this is Jim Gladstone, and I've been told to say this is blah, 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 and you're listening to Usewigs Radio.
And we're back, Usewigs Radio Podcast 41. Jim Gladstone, Scott Schrake, Todd Marone, and Rusty Static are in my basement, Jeff Lyon Super Studios, and Discount Apparel Mart. That was just Statehood, new band, fantastic band. That's Eric and Joe from the Dismemberment Plan are back and rocking to boot, I must say, on one of my favorite labels, Discord, out of D.C., where Scott is now a denizen.
That seems a lot more accessible than the Dismemberment Plan stuff.
Yes, well, most things are more accessible than Dismemberment
Plan.
Where
Scott is now what?
A denizen of.
Oh, a denizen of.
A denizen of. I should have maybe put a little caesura
like
between the
saying,
two words.
Like
a
he
denizen
was doing something
of.
Like a denizen. And I'm like, what is
no,
that?
No, 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 no.
Washington, D.C. Like of which Scott Schrake is now a denizen.
Like citizen or netizen.
Netizen. Wow.
Netizen.
That's an old one from the 90s.
But you can't be a netizen of a geographical place, can you?
No, I'm just saying it's an izen.
Izen? Scott, I need you right now to hit me with a Facebook story.
So, I have this coworker, a young lady. Beautiful young lady. And
she all into you and whatnot?
Her brother is a gay homosexual.
Okay.
The best
he's
kind.
Both?
Yeah. That's like a
Jesus,
negative.
That stinks.
And on Facebook, like all of the sites, you can describe yourself in great detail. You can say what your gender is. You can say what other gender or same gender you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then you can even get more specific. And you can also, this is the great part, there's like two tiers on Facebook, T-I-E-R-S.
Mm-hmm. Not like
and a lot more T-I-E-R-S.
I understand.
One tier is the high school kids.
Yeah.
And college kids. And you have to say how you know people, too. Or you don't have to, but you can say how you're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways is we hooked up.
Oh,
and
nice.
And then you can rate it. We hooked up and it was fantastic. Or we hooked up and it sucked.
It would be better if it was like a Likert scale. We hooked up and it was 7.
Or we dated or whatever.
Right. I was blown and it was a 5.
It was okay.
Too much
just
teeth.
Just okay.
Right.
It was a 5.
That was the quality, not the length.
There's a couple different scales you can rate it on.
Can that scale go down to 5? I can't imagine. It's just like 8 to 10, right?
I think 5 is more than enough on one of those scales. Scott, go on. No more juvenile behavior. Yeah, Scott, go on.
And plus, this is getting blue, and I don't know if I can have my name associated with it. Anyway, let's keep it clean. This is a family show. We're in a family house.
We are.
So the juveniles can do, we hooked up and get away with it. But I mean, I've got like my people at my company and my boss and whatever could be on there. So I'm not going to say, I hooked up with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless it would make me look like a stud. What do you think? Should I do it?
What's the story?
All right. Her brother is younger. He's a student at Penn right here in your
lovely
town.
Philadelphia. Yeah, sure.
Hello.
Familiar with it.
And he decided that the way to come out as a gay homosexual to his parents was to put on his profile that he was looking for men.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow, you know, accidentally on purpose, direct them to his profile.
That's a very elaborate plan.
And that's what he did. And that's how they found out. And he was hoping that then, virally, if you will, his whole extended family could also log on to Facebook.
So did he make a video? Because that's how you virally do something.
Well, that everyone could just coincidentally find out on Facebook that he was a gay homosexual. And I thought, this is a strange new world. I mean, I've known people who...
So you would say now the web and this whole social interaction is now allowing people to do things that they used to do in person.
In a more cowardly fashion.
In a more cowardly fashion.
Right.
Yeah, that's what email's been.
But is it more cowardly? Because if you do something face-to-face and you say it, then it dissipates and it goes away. But if you do something online, it could be there forever. So I don't know that it's more cowardly. It's just...
You know what? Let's all think about that. Let's just suck it all in, live with it for a while, and we'll play a song. And Russ, I'm going to do a segue, all right? I feel like pancakes or...
Hotcakes.
Or hotcakes. There you go.
This is L1011 with hotcakes. All right, that was L1011 with Hot Cakes. And that band, we were talking about that a little bit before the show started. They did the soundtrack for a movie called Helvetica, which is getting a lot of
buzz.
There's a lot of buzz about that movie, and I think it's coming out on DVD, or just came out on DVD.
It's about a font?
It's about the font, Helvetica. It's this year is the 50th anniversary of the font, Helvetica.
Come on, let's give it up for Helvetica.
I love it. It looks great for 50.
It's very simple sans serif font, and when it first started being used, some people thought of it as ultra modern, and it became sort of thought of as ultra corporate, IBM soulless and faceless. And there's a lot of debate, right, in the design community as to whether Helvetica is hip and cool or whether it's the font of the man.
There's a movie about this, though.
And apparently,
is it a documentary?
The drummer in my band emailed me, and he was like, "All right, first of all, I watched this movie, and the soundtrack is unbelievable. Check these guys out." That's how I found out about L1011. And he was like, "And second of all, it's a movie about a font, and it's like one of the most gripping things I've seen recently." He said it was fantastic. Did you see it, Jim?
I've seen portions.
Oh, that's right.
It.
You said, yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's not literally. I mean, it does tell you the story of how the font was developed, but it sort of makes you think a lot about how type affects us in day-to-day life. And they talk about signage and this, that, and the other, and it's stuff that most people don't think about it.
Yeah. I had a colleague have a talking to from an administrator because he was sending emails in all capital letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that was being
that.
Perceived as he
That's
was flaming. Shouting at everyone.
Flaming.
Yeah, and of course his intention was not to do so. He just kept all the caps on because it was easier for him, you know, to not capitalize, to not have to capitalize.
What?
About capitalizing. I'm just telling you what happened.
What
he had a talking to.
Dipshit is the word.
You know, had he done it the reverse way, instead of having to shift, if he just did everything lowercase, you know,
it would have been
the new E.E. Cummings.
I was just going to, God damn you, Gladstone, I was going to give an E.E. Cummings the reference.
New,
hey!
The new E.E. Cummings.
Wow, E.E. Cummings, nice.
Well, it's
damn.
Like, I can't take anything seriously that is ever in Comic Sans font. Like, that's my most hated font, and anything I ever see in that, I just can't take it seriously.
FYI, I made an E.E. Cummings reference about four podcasts ago, just to let you know that I'm also on the same level as Jim Gladstone. with
Pity the Fool.
With authors who only wrote
he's really
well, you know what, I was setting up a real beautiful zinger, and Gladstone came in with just the bam and he beat me to it. I know
it's different than when you're just with us, right? And all we talk about, we yammer about,
right, you're like Star Wars, I have an action figure. Really? And now when I'm with very erudite learned writer types,
it has thrown a balance off big time.
Oh,
I feel like we should be like
stinks.
Ape suits over here.
Russ, stop hitting Todd with
feces at each other.
Stop hitting Todd with a bone.
Remember that ape at the Philadelphia Zoo, Massa, that used to throw feces?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I don't.
Dr. Skyhook. There was a big story about Dr. Skyhook, who was on a lot of the radio shows, about the one girl that would go to the bathroom in his hand and would hook it over himself into the crowd.
You said that so gently. Go to the
go
bathroom.
To the bathroom.
in his hand.
Wait,
a little miniature toilet.
Wait, what did you just say? A girl went to the bathroom in his hand?
No, a girl. We're talking about primates, right?
A gorilla.
I thought you
said, it sounded like girl. I'm like, what are you talking
girl,
about?
Gorilla. Really?
Like, a girl went in the gorilla's hand and he would throw it at the
Scott's taking it's Scott's class.
That really would be worthy of an article.
Thank God they found each other.
See how much that costs on Craigslist to get that done?
Ouch, that is hot. Yeah, I'm taking a scat class. You want to talk about my scat class?
Yeah, scat class. Who's the greatest scatter of all time?
Scatman Crump.
No.
Mel Torme?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Etta James Fitzgerald.
No, I know about Etta James, but not Ella Fitzgerald.
You know what? I couldn't hate a type of music more than scat.
But what are you talking
about? It's just ridiculous. It's silly.
Just to give him the hand for 1 second, if anybody's even curious, one of the last songs on Ella in Berlin, she does a version of Mac the Knife and she forgets the words, and so she just goes off on like this 6-minute scat. It is It is absolutely mind-blowing.
Okay.
In a good way?
In
a good
way.
I'm telling you, it's probably like the greatest single scat performance.
Jim has now created two words for our podcast.
What would be the second best scat performance of all time?
Wait, was it during the 1936 Olympics?
Probably someone with Bill Cosby.
Hickey Burr. Yeah, I knew it. With Quincy Jones, right? Yeah.
But that actually is incredibly stupid.
Now, Russ, that is along the lines of when Ashley Simpson was lip-syncing and forgot the words on Saturday Night Live, where she did not go for a vocal performance and just hoedowned.
That's the difference between a true artist. A true artist, you know, uses their talent to convert the moment.
Right.
A piece of crap hoedowns and walks off the stage while the band stands there going, "What do we do now?"
Wait, so which one is Ashley Simpson?
Let me give
She's the piece of crap.
What we've learned tonight is that Ella Fitzgerald much more talented than Ashley Simpson.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Are we all in agreement?
We have a quorum.
Jim, another thing you're very good at and you've written books about, tomes about, is party games.
Party games, okay.
Games. A lot of people, Todd, and I know you're very into this, you like to have gatherings where there's like themes and stuff going on, and you like games. You like group games.
I have one on tap, as a matter of fact. The one that we're cooking right now is we just got the Apple TV. We talked about a podcast or two ago.
Right. Here's a TV in the shape of an apple. That's fantastic.
So one of the things you can do is tap directly into YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it would be great if we invited a handful of people over that who all independently, prior to the party, got their YouTube accounts organized so that they had a couple great clips.
Okay.
And then we all sat there and we went through, maybe you could choose two or three clips and have like a competition to see who could bring to the table the most interesting or funny, maybe even have different categories, like the Mummers Parade. You don't?
Why do you need one?
Here's why you need a
YouTube post things.
You need a YouTube account is if you're
so
looking at
suck
things.
Your identity.
Well, if you can like earmark things.
Oh, really?
So like if you want to show a friend of you know something, then there it is. You have to like search for the cluster of things.
Yeah, that's
so,
hard. It takes to search.
Let's see. we don't have a regular typewriter. We have one like in Tom Hanks's Big where we have to jump on the keys so you can understand why.
But if you think about it, right? Because one of the other things too is that videos go up and down off of YouTube so frequently
that I
would think that saving them or hanging on to them would be kind of a wasted exercise.
Well, you know what? The ones that go up and down are the ones that are taken from television programs. But you know, people in their basement, you know, playing.
Yeah, it's a good point, Todd.
Their ear.
Yeah, most of the ones that get ripped off are like NBC's, like you no longer can play this, you know, Fallout Boy video from SNL.
I didn't mean to steal the thunder. I'm interested to hear about some of the party games that you've written about in the party game book.
Well, I would say you are a historian, a master, a doyen of party games. Yeah, someone who's really just immersed himself in being the life.
A lady, though.
No, but no, there's a male version pronounced almost the same way.
You're no lady.
Okay.
Right, Scott, am I correct?
Just
say yes, please. God damn it.
Okay. So what's your question, Jeff?
My question is, if I'm having a party, and I need I'm having a party with a bunch of people, and they're not like, you know, my friends with an S. They're like some new friends with a Z. What's a good icebreaker type party that I can get everyone involved with without making people feel like, I don't want to partake in that?
Well, you need to do something that's not really competitive.
See, that's not what it is. I want an established winner and a loser that everyone can look at and be like, man, you really just made this party horrible. No, you're right.
Pinky,
a non-competitive...
Hinky Pinky, we love Hinky.
Hinky Pinky's a great game. Briefly describe it.
So Hinky Pinky is the game of rhyming riddles. So, for instance, I would say to you, I would say Hink Pink, which indicates that each word in the rhyme is going to be one syllable. And then the clue would be a Hollywood vehicle. And the answer would be a star car.
Mm.
And then you can do more interesting ones like Hinky Pinky, where the Pope gets his syrup.
This is a good one. Where does the Pope get his syrup? The Papal Maple.
Oh, wow.
FYI, Doyen, D-O-Y-E-N.
Okay.
Dean, a man who is a senior member of a group.
All right.
All right.
Where are you getting that? On the web?
I found it on the World Wide Webs.
You can't rely on that stuff.
Well, I found it on Newswigs.com. I wrote it. I just posted it.
So you just posted it.
Yeah. This is that old joke that I just read it somewhere. Well, I wrote it down, then I read it. No. It, basically, I love parties where there's games taking place. And that's
spin
like...
Spin the bottle.
Spin the bottle's a great one.
I like charades.
Charades. I was just listening to Dimitri Martin, comedian, and he's like, the worst place to have a heart attack is during a charades game. And he said the second worst place to have a heart attack is a game entitled Heart Attack, followed up by a game entitled Nap.
Hi, Dimitri.
Right now, let's stop all the merriment, and we're going to play a little band known as Defiance, Ohio. Defiance, Ohio.
Like the prize winner of Defiance, Ohio.
The prize?
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, it was a movie with Julianne Moore based on a book.
Wow.
The movie is really good.
Oh, well, that's something I want to look into. Now, this is a very, very cool band. They're kind of like a folk punk band in the vein of maybe Against Me meets the Pogues. Fantastic band on No Idea Records. And this is the song called The List.
By crunching numbers, crunched up islands, 2,600 miles, 45 hours. I tried to count the space in a million yellow dashed lines, and my gas tank's just empty. Don't have the balls or the wherewithal or the cash to fill it again. So I guess it's better.
We're back, Usewigs Radio Podcast 41 with Jim, Todd, Scott, Rush, Jeff, and a whole house load of people who are upstairs making minimal noise. That was just one of my favorite bands, Defiance, Ohio. You can check out their latest CD, The Fear, The Fear, The Fear.
Where are they from?
They are Defiance, Ohio. I'm pretty sure from Ohio.
Okay. That's not always the case, though.
You're right.
As a matter of fact, more frequently, these geographical band names are not anywhere near the country or the state of origin.
So let's just say I'm not really sure.
We can ask our favorite Ohesian fan, Raw Bacon.
Raw Bacon would know.
If he runs into them on the circuit.
That's pretty cool. If you're from Ohio, Ohesian.
I've never heard that. And my people are from Ohio.
Your people?
If you're married to someone from Ohio... Cohesion.
Oh, nice. See, this guy's a word guy.
Nice. You could have done a hinkity pinkity with that.
Right. If you want more fun word type stuff like that from Jim Gladstone, go get his book, Games to Go. Actually, Gladstone's Games to Go is the title of the book. You could type that into Amazon and find it, I believe. Yes. So that was Defiance, Ohio. Check them out on No Idea Records. Yes. Right now, we're going to close up the show, close up the basement studio, and now we're going to do one of our favorite parts of the show called Shoutouts.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hooray! We will spin this great big spinner board and find out who will give our first shout-out. Todd.
See, this is, you see him look up at the dog, like a dog. Smile.
The light shines on me. This is kind of a reshout, and I know a lot of our former casts have disappeared, so it stands to mention again that the Flight of the Conchords, we talked about these guys many, many moons ago when they were just downloadable on YouTube, or you could like go online and see their stage performance. Well, as you know, they're on HBO now with their own television program, a little bit like Tenacious D, but I think much better, much funnier. I've watched the entire season of both, and
I agree.
It's on DVD now, season one, Flight of the Conchords. It's stylish. It's aesthetically pleasing. It's well-directed, well-written, well-acted. The guys are brilliant. And I especially like how Brett always seems to wear a sweatshirt with, like, an ironically bad
animal
decal.
Right.
Yeah.
There's never been, and this is going to be a bold statement, there's never been a show funnier with less actual dialogue. Minimal dialogue. Beautifully shot and just so...
Yeah, it's very slow and dry, kind of like the English wit or sense of humor. Yeah. They're New Zealanders, but...
Yeah.
And the music is actually really strong.
It's good.
You know, like, there are plenty of people clamoring for the CD to come out. They have, like, a little EP of some of the music from the first season. But the music's good. This show's great. Are you guys familiar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My brother's is friends with them.
Really? Wow! Can your brother...
Well, one of them was in Lord of the Rings, too.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because they're New Zealish.
Oh.
And they're, all, you know, everyone who does arts in New Zealand.
Right, we're involved in the film.
And they were there. They were
cool.
I am into a guy named Chiyoshi Ito, a Japanese guy who went to Temple, and he started a photography studio called Project Basho in the Kensington area of the city. Not the nicest area of Philadelphia, if you're familiar with Kensington. But, he offers a community darkroom, classes, and he's really into the art of photography, not digital crap. He's into, basically uses 80 to 100-year-old cameras. He gets on eBay, and he's really good. Uses the old style of production, of you know, paper and stuff like that. Costs him a lot of money, but he's really trying to create a community of photographers who love photography, do it the old-fashioned way. And I believe you can go to his website, bashoproject.org, and check out his stuff. And he has a website called 36 Views of Philadelphia, where he and other photographers take their old-timey cameras, their old brownies, you know, with the... You know, the thing we mentioned in the last podcast. And they take pictures of Philadelphia from rooftops. Russ, do you have a shout-out?
Yeah, I got two quick ones. Both of them are online comic strips, basically. One I've shouted out before, but go back to scarygoround.com. And the reason why this is a good time to go review that again is we talked about some good Christmas gifts and things. And the T-shirts available from that site are fantastic. They're not even really relevant to the comic strip. It's just the artist that does that strip. And I have some of his work, and actually our own Todd has stopped me and said, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt?" Because it's just very, very cool work and you know, good gift idea.
Scary go round.
And then the other one is Jeff just got me into this. It's a new online strip called WeTheRobots.com. And it is fantastic. And I think just like Jeff was saying, it's it's kind of got like the sensibility that the old Calvin and Hobbes had, like the way it's drawn. Just like, you know, simple lines just convey a ton of emotion. It's got a lot of, you know, it's really kind of innocent in some ways, but the meaning underneath it is really deep. And especially for those of us who kind of have to do the corporate thing here and there, there's just a lot of poignant stuff going on in that strip.
WeTheRobots.com.
It's interesting that you compare that to Calvin and Hobbes, because in both cases, while they are simple line drawings, as most cartoons are, both artists have an understanding of the three-dimensional world that is beyond most other two-dimensional cartoonists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's a good point.
There are, for instance, like Schultz drawing Peanuts or Ziggy or something like that. There are basically...
Schultz drew Ziggy?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did them all, as a matter of fact.
And, all the bald guys.
But there are just two views. Like, there's a side view and a front view, and any combination thereof. Whereas, you know, these guys,
Ziggy? It's a good band name.
Like, that's a funny thing, because on the guy's... what's his name? Chris Harding is the guy who does
Chris Harding, yes.
He does the website, and he has a frequently asked questions section, and one of the most frequently asked questions that people ask him is, what's the software you use? And he writes, good question. He goes, the software means absolutely everything to the comic strip you're doing. Don't even think about film, music, studying art, all this kind of stuff, because it has no effect. Thank you. That was his answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ooh, someone's real... bitter.
Well,
I understand.
He probably didn't say it with the attitude that I portrayed, but it's true.
But
it's
you can like, understand, like, someone software. Who knows what they're doing, you know, must be frustrated when they're lumped together in a pack of people who don't know what they're doing, perhaps artistically. Well, there's not to say that there isn't a certain charm to Hagar the Barbarian, but, you know, the guy can't
Dick Brown?
Draw.
The Lockhorns.
Or the Lockhorns. They can't draw like these other guys.
Well, I think Russ.
The Lockhorns don't draw. They just caption. The drawings have been done.
It's true. It's the same. But Russ, I think the reason that is an inflammatory type question to him is because many people will pose that question because they're like, hey, how did you do that? I want to be able to do
it too.
Right? Exactly. Don't you think that would kind of be an affront to you?
My aunt said I could be a cartoonist.
My aunt says I'm really talented.
Bloom County. It was at Berkeley.
Breathed. How would you pronounce it?
He's actually a great artist as well.
Breathed?
He breathed,
but he's actually a really
strong
artist.
He was a guy. Like, he was one of those guys where you could read certain comics and the way he would draw Opus, your heart would be breaking because you felt so bad for the character. Like, you know, like he had a lot of personality, you know?
Scott, have you come up with someone you'd like to shout out? I could see the wheels spinning in your head, and I know there's a lot you like to, you can plug yourself, which, how can we find you on Huffington Post? What would be the easiest way?
Just type my last name.
Shrake.
Yeah.
Go to Huffington Post, put in Shrake.
Yeah, but there's, you know, I post infrequently. I mean, people...
That's not a bad thing.
It's not?
No, the reason being... People who post frequently have less to say.
They have, well, or they don't have a job.
It's true. There was a big Onion article about the whole blogosphere was amazed that a blogger posted during the weekend.
Mm-hmm,
that was very funny. Because, you know, most people don't.
I would like to give a shout out to Midtown Village, which is a neighborhood here in Philadelphia that needs some love from... I don't think it's marketed properly to out-of-town tourists.
Hold on, is this the new neighborhood? I gotcha. Now, that's something I want to talk about. You know, they're always giving neighborhoods in Philadelphia names. Like, they gave the Graduate Hospital some cute... Now the Graduate Hospital's not there, so they think of a new name
for it.
Jiho was the name.
Seriously? Flags.
Right. Right. So in Philadelphia, historically, the Gayborhood was a pretty well-known area.
Right.
That
was its official name.
It was. The mayor back in Wilson Good had the big scissors, cut of the ribbon, and he handed
Frank Rizzo it was.
Was it Frank Rizzo? Yeah. And he handed a...
He christened the gay neighborhood.
So the Gayborhood now, I think, they gave it a new name, which is what?
Midtown Village.
That sounds like old people.
Like a strip mall.
Well, it sounds like a leisure village, like old people are hanging out there.
Yeah. It's a village, though, with a lot
It takes a Midtown Village.
It takes a Midtown Village to raise.
It's like the Ewok Village. It reminds me of, like, the little tree huts.
No, but Philadelphia does advertise... nationally to try and get people to come here. And that's why I'm giving a shout out to Midtown Village.
Oh, okay.
And I'm endorsing it as a fun place to go. And, you know,
what's at the crux of Midtown Village? Like, what's the epicenter?
Oh, my. They have all kinds of restaurants and bars.
Oh, restaurants and bars.
My heavens.
Is there sort of like a Branson area we could go to go see some shows or some sort of, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
And there's parks.
They want to attract more than the gays.
That's why I'm giving it a shout out.
That's another great band name. Attract More Than the Gays. A little long, but More Than Gays.
Do you guys live there?
No. Yeah, we have to.
The loft.
Have you been quarantined?
It's kind of like Logan's Run. They have special
those crystals in there.
Right, right.
Glowing.
Jim can't leave a certain area.
They,
back to Midtown.
Felt rainbow on everyone's trench coat.
Of course we do.
Duh. Where else are we gonna live? All right, people. That was.
Well, what about Jim?
I thought he didn't want one. Jim, do you have a shout out? Can you give one?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. I thought you were. You looked very like you weren't into the whole shout out things.
No, I was just bored of Scott.
Yeah, well,
cut it.
That's another great band name, Bored of Scott. And you can have it two ways, like the Bored of Scott, like it's like eight old gentlemen sitting around, like, all right, I think we're the Bored of Scott. We're convening today to discuss. Or you could be just, I'm completely bored of Scott.
No, I will shout out both on the web as well.
Friends.
Smith Magazine, which
Ooh.
Is at smithmag.net.
That sounds
and
good.
And it is a memoir-based magazine online, but it's very vetted. So it's like the essence of good blogging.
Oh, okay.
People tell personal stories in all sorts of ways. And a couple of the most interesting things they've done of late are online comics, one of which got a book deal called Shooting War, about a combat photographer in Iraq.
Ooh.
And they're running a monthly serialized comic now about New Orleans after Katrina.
Sounds real fun and chipper. And
they also have a really interesting series of six-word memoirs. You're invited to contribute your memoir in six words.
That's pretty good.
There was a famous writer who wrote, was it Hemingway? Who his most famous work, or his most favorite work of his own was Baby Shoes for Sale, Never Used, or something like that?
Yes. To write a short story
that
got a whole mood across in the in six
and,
words.
And was that what it was, or something?
It came from that, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other recommendation I have is just a YouTube video. It's, Scott, you've heard of this.
Yeah.
Bear Force One.
Bear Force.
If you haven't seen the Bear Force One video, it's made in Amsterdam, and it is essentially a boy band done by hairy, middle-aged men. And they do all the boy band moves. It's really well-produced. The music is great.
A bear in the gay circles, a bear is a large kind of like husky man, right?
Fat, bald, hairy.
Fat.
Do people aspire to be bears?
No. Well, it's a type of man, right?
You happen to be a bear, and then you're lucky that there's a market.
We were talking about this today. I think what happened was
that
someone was probably once upon a time saying, the kind of man I'm attracted to is actually paunchy, hairy, whatever, kind of like a bear.
But who would say that?
And then... reading that identified and said, hey,
yes.
They're describing me.
Right.
I'm a bear.
Right.
And we were off to the races.
And an exact opposite is a twink.
The exact opposite of beauty.
This is a whole other podcast that we could get into.
A twink is a, you know, a hairless, cream-filled snack treat.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Take that where you will and go. That's a perfect way to end a podcast. It's a cream-filled snack treat.
I'm a twink.
That was podcast 41 with Scott Shrake, the twink, Jim Gladstone, the friends, Jim Gladstone, Jim the bear Gladstone, Todd the twink, Scott the twink Shrake. I'm Jeff, that's Russ, that's Todd. Thanks, we'll see you later.